Right. Anyway, I'm gonna open in prayer first before we go any further. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving this service, giving us this day, when as brothers and sisters we can come before you, Lord. We come before your throne of grace. And we look to you, we feel your love emanating down, topping us up within our bodies, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have revealed Jesus. Jesus, that you have chosen us before we chose you. That you and you alone lead us into the presence of the Father. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is within us now, which is our heavenly hotline, our direct connection straight to the Father heart of God, who listens, who cares, who comforts, who caresses, who embraces, who loves endlessly and passionately with a love that we can't even comprehend. Even in times like now, when we are sometimes lost for words of what goes on about us, but we trust in you, and thank you, God, that you do. You tie things together so wonderfully. You have done today. All that has been spoken, all that has been said, all that has been shared, it knits together. Because you are the master weaver. You are the divine artist. And your tapestry is rich and full. And Father, thank you that we are part of that tapestry. Thank you that we are part of your royal priesthood, your sons and daughters. And that, Jesus, you laid everything down for us. You are the God-man who came to earth because you loved us so much, and you hung across upon that cross, and you suffered and you died that we may have eternal life in your heavenly home. So, Father, I pray that you be with me as I talk now. I've spent a lot of time, as you know, hearing from you, praying into this. You've given me dreams, all corresponding to this. It's all the message for such time as this. So we know that you are our blessed assurance. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. You and you alone lead us into the presence of the Father. Anyway, I best get on with it. So today I am talking about home. Now, hence why I've come here to our beloved Green. It's not long now, and we shall be back here. As it says on our website, it felt like home when we came. When people come in here, I know certainly from many testimonies from people about when they came to the Green, it feels like where they're meant to be. It feels like their home. It those who have gone away and then returned because they knew it was their place. Just so many, and I know that for myself, after what should we say, many years in the wilderness, where the Lord was faithful and he never let me down and he pursued me, that when I walked in here, I had exactly that same experience. I walked in, I could feel the presence of God. I just wept because it was a joy, a weeping for joy, and just feeling his presence and feeling the love of each and everyone. And the same for Jeanette. when she came in here, the same she felt. And I know for many of you, that is the same thing. And so I am at our beloved green. But we say that it is but a building. And yes, it is but a building. We are the church. We are his bride. But as the Celtic Christians say and believe, there are some thin places. And I believe, to me and to many others, that the green is one of those places. It is a place where heaven comes close to earth and they overlap. They overlap, and his heart is for this place. His heart is for the future and for what will be done from this place. As John Presley used to say, the prayers of the saints that have been going on here now for over 120 years. As I stand here now, it's empty, but it is not empty. I can feel you, we are linked. Our spirit is alongside, our spirit is with the Holy Spirit deep inside us. We are blessed to be his temple. So we may not be together in the flesh, so to speak, but in the spirit we are bonded, and we are bonded tight through Christ. So the word I've had is, yeah, this is our home, this place. But we know that this place is in the world, and we are told that we are not of the world. We are told that we are aliens. We are told that the world, if we love the world, we don't love God. If we hate, that we are hated by the world because it first hated Jesus. This can all sound a bit challenging and a bit much because it is his creation. He created it. So how does this fit? But he, Jesus, said, foxes have their holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So what he has shown me is that, yeah, there are, I think C.S. Lewis put it like this. On our journey through life, we are of the world. At one time, if you've come from a position, even if you've been a Christian from cradle upwards, you have had that moment in your life when Jesus has reached in, when you have personally come to know him as your Lord and Saviour. You may have, as we've said, we know the one. You know about the Queen, but you don't actually know the Queen. So it's the same. You can be carried along in that vessel, knowing about Jesus, but it is not until you come to know him personally and relationally that then you know him. You really know him. Because don't forget, he is the God that knew you before the foundation of the world. He numbers the hair upon your head. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He has good plans for you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, yes, we are in the world, and we are. I've got some scriptures here. Let me just read them. This is from John 15. If you were of the world would love its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, for that very reason, the world hates you. So we can see this, but, and also in 1 John, I'll just rattle through these. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Echoing that. And as the prayer that Jesus made not only for the disciples, but at the time, for us who would believe in the future, from John 17. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me to the world, I also sent them to the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I am praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me through their message. That message, of course, the gospel, the good news, which each and every one know that we know that. So his prayer is that we be protected while we are here. But this, sometimes Christians can have a beam me up, Scotty attitude. So to speak of, Lord, we're here, there, this is all going a bit pear-shaped, but don't worry, one day we're out of here. But that isn't the message. The message is that just as Jesus, don't fear, because he's overcome the world. In this world you will face tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world, he said. So we are here, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, which dwells within us. That is the other part of this. So this is not our home, but then we are blessed, we are privileged, we are honored that the God of the universe, the living God, our God, the only God, chooses to live in us, to dwell within us. We are blessed indeed. We know that at this present time, we have got an enemy, but the victory is in Jesus. I will read a couple of scriptures that go into that. Right. From 1 John, we know that we are from God, but that the whole world lies in the grip of the evil one. The ruler of this world has been condemned. John 12. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out. 1 John 4 again. You are from God, dear children, and you have overcome, because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. So if you liken it now to this terrible situation that is going on with COVID at the moment, we are the cure to an ailing world. It was the perfect world, but in the Garden of Eden, when we fell from grace, that if you were of the world would be friends with you. And it is in the whole, but so we have a wise counselor who balances it out for us. We are not children of wrath and disobedience as once we were, but we are children of light. We are his ambassadors. We are just so blessed and privileged. Now, the good thing to take from this we are the advancing kingdom. The enemy is defeated. The victory is ours. We know that your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But we don't need to fear about that. Just like David with Goliath, David with the lions that haunted the flocks when he was looking after them, and the bear, we know from scripture that he saw them off. And that's exactly what we do. We have that power. We have the Holy Spirit, our direct line, our heavenly hotline, living inside us. We have direct touch into the throne room of grace. We are, in fact, seated with him in heavenly places. Anyway, I better move on. trodden. Yeah, so scriptures to do with us being inside. Or rather, it's Father, Son, and Spirit living in us. Right. Through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. And now, what was that good deposit? It is the apostolic gospel of Jesus Christ, which is in each and every one of us. And that is for us, under his mandate, to take into the world. Ephesians 2. In him, you too are being built together into a dwelling place for the God by the Spirit. Ephesians 3. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, be rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1. We know this mystery that in within us is Christ, the hope of glory. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah to Jesus. By Christ, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. We are his house. If we hold on firmly to our with confidence and hope about which we can boast until the end. John 14. By the way, this is from, you may not have heard, this is from the Evangelical Heritage Version, which is an official version of the Bible. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will hold on to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. All right. Okay, what's that? Now, so because he is within us, we can, as Katie read the scripture early, be bold and very courageous and not be afraid, because we know that our God is with us wherever we go. So we have no worries in that. And when we have fulfilled our earthly commission from the Great Commission, we know that we have such a future to look forward to. So, as I've referred to, here we are, I am, at the Beloved Green. Soon we will all be here. We know not exactly when. God's timing, as we know. This place of that is so precious to many of us, for me and Jeanette particularly, because we were both baptized here, and then we were married here, and knew our church family, which is so good. It is so precious. This is home. This is home in the building. But and now we are empowered because the Holy Spirit is at home within us. He built, we are a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are his temple, and he is within us. And when we have run our race, when in the fullness of time we have done that, we have another promise, which is our promise of our heavenly dwelling. So, as we know from John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, will I not return and take you to be where I am forever? And you know the way and you know the place. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the way to the Father. The setting that this would have been in to the ancient Jews in biblical times, the case was the, what do they call it? A bavith was a name for a shelter, and a bait in Arabic was a name for a shelter, or maybe it's the other way around. Can't quite. Maybe, but what basically, a lot of time in those days, all you did, your shelter was a place where you just lived there when you were a single man or a single woman. You lived there, you just put your head down, you sat there. It's a one-room dwelling, very basic, nothing to it. And because you spent most of your time either out working, out in the fields, out doing what you do in the day. But the lovely thing here is when, in the part where it says, in my father's house, there are many mansions, sometimes rendered rooms, houses, dwelling places, or abodes. Now that's father's house. And in the culture at the time, as you see through Jacob with all his sons and extended family, with Noah and all his sons and extended family, it was cultural and honouring to God, because God is about relationship, Father, Son and Spirit. I mean, there they were. Then there's the angels to serve them. And then he went a step further and then wanted relationship with us and created us just for that purpose. He is a God who is a creator, and he continues creating, and he still is even now. So, yeah, anyway, cut back to it. When Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, what he's saying is, if your son got married and returned to the father's house, he brought his bride with him. We are the bride. We are his church. He, Jesus, is the master builder above all builders. And he personally goes to prepare a place for us, for you, for me, and for all who that will accept him. And he goes ahead, and he will one day return, and he will take us to be with him. We know from 2 Thessalonians that everything is fulfilled, and that we will see our loved ones in heaven once more, who have passed on and were in Christ. So I won't forget, I've got my little note here of things I must mention. I was given a dream, because this is how God primarily talks to me. And in that dream, excuse me, oh, I've got them in, probably not a good idea. Within that dream, I was at my father's house. Now, it was my father's house, and I know it was my father's house, because it was the house I last lived in with my father. But I was 13 at the time, and unfortunately, my mother fell ill and passed away. So we only lived in the house. It was her dream house, so we bought it. But unfortunately, she died after 3 months of us being there. So as you can imagine, it was a lovely house, but it was tinged and tainted and very painful. It was, especially at that sort of young age. But anyway, and I got out of there as soon as I could, to be honest. As soon as I was a teenager, I was on my way when I reached 16 and was allowed. But in the dream, I have returned there, and it is my father's house. But it isn't. It was a lovely house, the building, in a cul-de-sac. But in the dream, there was the house, but it was set on its own. And there around it were fields and fields and fields and fields, just as far as the eye could see, of wheat. And the wheat is in the wind, and it's flowing like an ocean. It's flowing backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And there's the most bright, glorious sun in the sky above it all. Like a bit like some of the sunsets you're seeing now, which is sort of like with all our pollution and filth taken out the atmosphere, to be honest. So let's hope we learn some things from this as well. But it's shining down, and you know what I'm going to come out with before I say it. But the presence within the house, it was warm and it was love and it was the presence of God within the house. So I know it's my father's house because it's the house I lived in, so that's not easy to work out. But there is also a presence beside me, out of eyesight, just to the back of me. So out the corner of my eye, but without seeing, I am aware. And it's Father God. And he says to me, you know, the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. So pray for labourers and take them into the field. And that was the only prayer request Jesus ever made. That's what he asked us to pray for that. And for that is his personal, because we know that's the case. And tying in with the vision I had here, last time I spoke about the angels out the front standing with me on the plaza, with a magnificent vista looking out across the green, which was strangely still, strangely silent, very much a lack of anybody about. Do you know what? Very similar to how it can be now. Okay, it's livening up, thank God now. People are starting to move. But when the angel stood and looked out, and if you remember, I said there was a crystal sea over all our sin. And then he said, talking about it, we were all working together and we were all chipping away together. And as we're chipping through bedrock, the living water is flowing into the space that we are creating. As we chop away, you create space, you allow people to come in. And then out there, as you looked, he said, I asked what's going on here, and he said, this is how we flow, this is how we grow. So I believe that this is a time when this church is reopened and we are all gathered together. Things have definitely shifted in the spiritual realms. We are ready to step out as a church, the bride equipped, adorned, ready to step into the glory that Jesus, that God has for us. And by the Holy Spirit inside of us, we will move in signs and wonders. We will see amazing things start happening. We will see people healed. And we will see the glory and the kingdom of God come. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's another thing. I had when we do go to our heavenly home, where we might, I don't know how you feel, but what we are created in God's image. He is a God. He worked for 6 days. He rested on the seventh. When he placed us, Adam, in the garden, he placed in there to tend and to look after, to name animals. All of this is work. We will still be gainfully employed with the most wonderful jobs that you can ever imagine. We will not just sit there and be idle. We will worship. We will praise. We will serve him when we eventually reach there. But to reach there, we have to fulfill the mandate now and here. Another part, and I know when I was working out from, I had a dream, again, because I have a lot of dreams. I discard most of them, because you know when they're not from God. I'll discuss it with another. I will be accountable and talk through anything that I've got questions about. But this one was quite clear and simple. Dear Ken, came to me, Ryan, we're working out the front. And he's walked up to me and he was rejuvenated. He was fresh and he was happy with a big beaming smile on his face and his blessed bald head. There was hair. It was like crops coming out, shoots. It was like young plants growing, but there was loads of it everywhere. And all he sort of said to me, he went, here, it's flipping brilliant here. It's wonderful. So and he was overjoyed and he was happy. We will be restored. We will be rejuvenated. We will be with Father as we're meant to be. Now, also with it, I know I jumped backwards and forwards. I will round it all up. I've got the 5 or 10 minutes. So, also in John 14, we see that it is mentioned twice. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. And that's 14:1. And then with 14:27, do not let your heart be troubled and do not let it be afraid. Now, we know in the ancient Jews looked upon the heart actually as we look at the mind. So that was, this is like mind. That is how they, so it's, yeah, don't let your mind be troubled. Above it, through it all, through all the heartache, through all the hardship that people are going through at the moment, we've got to have faith. Faith that it's all working to good, and faith that there is a time. And we cannot see the beginning from the end, but He can. To round up, from Philippians 3, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly waiting for a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. He will transform our humble bodies to be like His glorious body. We have such a future coming. All are to be absent in bodies, to be present in Christ. We will be healed. We will. It's going to be wonderful. And just one more dream that I had 2 nights ago to do with this as well. Sometimes it takes a bit of working out, and why the people in the let me say, okay, there was my sister was the one in the dream, and she's not a Christian. She has made a commitment when she saw the transformation from what I was to how I am now, because as you know, I was way away, as many of us have been. By His stripes, I am healed. And she was leading me, and she's got rather a large house. She's married to a banker, and his name's Richard, and he's a very wise man. He was here when we did the auction. He's the one who did the old Vic tickets, and he's a lovely, lovely, gentle-hearted man. He too believes he's a Christian, as in. But he steps everywhere, as we all do. But he's a wise, lovely man. And then in the dream, my sister said to me, I want you and all the family to come and live here, because I've got a big house. And a lot of my family, as with many of us, are not with the Lord. But how that spoke to me is, we know God's heart. He desires that none perish. He holds back the end until there is a fullness of everything that is needed. Adding to what is lacking in the body of Christ, which can't be anything barring other people coming to Him, more sons and daughters coming to Him. So I believe, and I was thinking about, and the picture I was given of was of my extended family. So there's a lot of them who are nowhere near Christians. There's a lot of them, and that is the world. So we are, that is still our mandate, as always has been, is to reach out, reach the lost, bring them in. And I believe when this hoarding goes down, I believe when this COVID is gone, I believe when we are all together, when we are fellowshipping, praising, worshipping in this lovely building, that that will be the time that things lift away and we will be where he wants us to be. So I'll try and do a summary then. We are in the world, but not of the world. Within us dwells the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son. Indeed, he comes to make his home with us. So we are more than capable to face the world, to deal with it, and to bring. We have weapons. We are supernaturally powerful in Jesus Christ. And we need to show that. We need to have that, and we can. Our faith levels will rise. And we also have a wonderful heavenly home set before us where the loving Father awaits and sends the groom, our beautiful Jesus Christ, to collect us, the church, his bride, who the bride price has already been paid for us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. And he personally will lead us to the homes in heaven. And that home in heaven will be in the most glorious city where what we count precious here, gold, is just pavement. It's just pavement. And the foundations, they're diamonds, rubies, emeralds. They are so many precious stones because that is our God. I'll just read this, which is a picture from Revelation 21 of how that heavenly Jerusalem is going to look. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer existed. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And from the throne I heard a loud voice that said, "Look, God's dwelling is with his people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, because the former things have passed away." The one who was seated on the throne said to me, this is of course John speaking, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will freely give from the spring of the water of life." That's it. Thank you.